The sermon for today is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. I'm calling, Are You Convicted? That's a dandy title. And it was written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He first gave this January 18, 1998. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The special epiphany, the particular showing up in this morning's gospel, takes place at the baptism of Jesus. His baptism marks his coming out onto the stage of history. For the previous 30 years, he has, as far as we know, lived a normal, quiet, private life in Nazareth. At his baptism, he becomes a public figure. His baptism also shows us who he is, just as it showed the crowd who watched it. Jesus is, first of all, the end product of the ministry of St. John the Baptist. John had told people that they needed to turn away from their sins because the Messiah of Israel was coming. The baptism made it clear that the Messiah had arrived. Jesus' baptism also shows that he is more than just another king in the mold of David and from David's family tree. Jesus is God as well as man. The Father speaks out to the sky, out of the sky to say so, and the Holy Ghost comes down upon him in the form of a dove. That gives us, as they say, both verbal and nonverbal cues. Baptism is the first sacramental step in becoming a Christian. We baptize not so much because Jesus was baptized, but because he tells us to baptize. His last orders to the disciples included, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He also says, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It could hardly be much clearer. One of the essential messages of the season of Epiphany goes like this. God manifested himself in the world through Jesus. Jesus manifests himself in the world through us. Us is the church, which the prayer book calls the blessed company of all faithful people. In the body of which Jesus Christ is the head, and all baptized people are the members. The operative word that goes along with church is people, not building, or even hierarchy of clergymen and rules. Jesus is manifested in the world through the people who have joined themselves to him in baptism and who live a life of faith. The world has no way to know Jesus except through us. That should give us all something to think about. St. Paul gives us ideas about how to go about our task of showing Jesus to the world. He says nothing about embarrassing people at cocktail parties or about carrying placards. He is interested in suggesting behavior that will make people who see you act that way want whatever it is that makes you act that way. One of St. Paul's basic teachings about baptism is that baptism makes you part of the church, which is a body, like a human body. Human bodies have different organs and other mechanisms, each of which has something specific to do, to promote the health and general welfare of the whole. Individual Christians have gifts which they are supposed to use for everyone else's benefit, not to call attention to themselves. Whatever your own particular gifts may be, there are some things everybody can do to help the body function in a healthy way and show Jesus to the world as effectively as possible. There are simple things, all far easier talked about than actually accomplished. He says we should abhor evil and choose good. So we have preaching and teaching to help us know the difference. He says we should be kindly affectioned, one to another with brotherly love. So we have coffee hours and classes and other chances to socialize. He says we should be generous and hospitable both to one another and to people outside the church. Besides these social, more interpersonal things, St. Paul says that the way you conduct your individual life will be an advertisement for Christianity, whether you know it or not. Your choice is whether you will be an advertisement which attracts people to the church or repels them. Are you happy and excited to be a Christian? Does your relationship to Christ fill you with joy and hope? Are you negative and despairing and bitter? Do you bear your own burdens? Do you bear your own burdens and sorrows with patience? Or are you quick to lapse into despair and self-pity? Do you pray? And do you seek the prayers of others? Do you try to have a charitable and forgiving and understanding attitude towards everyone else? Or are you quick to criticize and feel superior and complain that your interests are not being served? None of us does these things as well as we might, of course. The scary thing is to come into contact with people in the church who don't even try much. Jesus' baptism was just a beginning, a rich and dramatic and earth-shattering beginning, to be sure, but the beginning, nevertheless. We are responsible for continuing the story, for continuing to participate in Jesus' epiphany, his showing himself to the world. Once you have been baptized and have committed yourself to him, there is no going back. That is all just another way of asking yourself the old question. If you were on trial for your life and the charges against you was being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed, as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.